All right, so my name is Alex Blick. I'm the chief engineer of the Space City Rocket team. And today I'm going to be going over in detail our latest and newest student-developed high-power rocket, which we call Oberon 2. So first off, what is Space City Rocket Team? Who are we? We are a competitive student engineering team at the University of Houston. So we are a team entirely made of students, mostly engineering students, about 70 members. And our team is hosted by the AIAAUH student branch at school. And as a team, we compete annually at the Spaceport America Cup, which is an intercollegiate rocket engineering competition where student teams from all over across the world come to compete and launch their rockets. So the goal for competition is to develop and launch your own rocket to an altitude of 10,000 feet and then recover it safely with no damages. So that is the goal, and that is our goal. This competition is, of course, at Spaceport America in New Mexico. So this is our fourth year as a team. We have competed in the past twice before. So here's a little history of our previous competition vehicles. 2018 was our first year of competition where we flew our very first rocket, Prometheus. And so with Prometheus, we were learning a lot and we were kind of exploring a lot with high power rocketry. And so our flight wasn't as successful as we wanted it to be. We only reached 7,200 feet instead of the 10,000 foot goal. And upon recovery, one of the parachutes was actually, there's a problem with the deployment, and the nose cone and the fins actually cracked upon hitting the ground. But the following year in 2019, we developed a brand new rocket that we call Oberon. Not to get confused with Oberon 2, this is the original Oberon. And so we launched this in our second competition year, and we saw a much more successful flight. We reached 12,000 feet, which is actually a little more than we were expecting. And the recovery process was much more successful. We received no significant damages to the rocket after it landed. So we would have competed for the third time this year, but the competition unfortunately got canceled because of COVID. So here's a video of our previous competition flight. This is Oberon. Hopefully this video looks good over Zoom. But yeah, this is our last competition. As you can see, Oberon flew very well. It was a very successful flight, very nice and straight up. And we actually ended up placing 14th overall in the competition that year in terms of overall flight performance. So top 14 out of maybe over 100 teams or so is a very high tier, and it was a very great accomplishment for us as a team. So that brings us to this year, 2021. For this next year's competition, we will be flying Oberon once again, although this time we have made a lot of changes to Oberon. We're gonna be making a lot of upgrades to the design of this rocket, as well as adding in quite a few systems that actually explore more of the experimental side of high power rockets. And so we're calling this Oberon 2. The general specifications of this rocket, it's a 10 feet tall rocket. It is 6 inches in diameter, weighs about 56 pounds, and it has a body made out of fiberglass. So that includes the nose cone and the fins as well. For Oberon 2, we use a solid propellant motor. This is a solid propulsion rocket, and we use APCP for the fuel. We buy this motor pre-made from a company called Loki, The specific motor that we use is the Loki M3000 motor. And so if you see over there to the right, you'll see the thrust curve for this motor. Basically, with this thrust curve, we are able to know that the max thrust of this rocket is gonna be, or of this motor, is gonna be about 4,800 newtons. The average thrust is about 3,000 newtons. This motor has a total burn time of 3 seconds. And we can obtain the total impulse from this thrust curve by taking the area under the curve. And so simply by multiplying the average thrust by the burn time, we get a total impulse of about 8,800 Newton seconds. So with all of this information, we're able to predict our flight performance. And so with Oberon 2, we have predicted that we'll reach about 10,700 feet, which is it's very close to that 10,000 feet mark. So that's a good apogee that we have. We have a max velocity of about 313 meters per second, and then a max acceleration of 183 meters per second squared. So over 18 G's of acceleration. So now we get to get kind of into more of the fun part of this. So I'm gonna go over the design of our rocket, of Oberon 2. So starting at this figure on the top, from the left side, we keep our main parachute in the nose cone. And then to the right of that, we have our avionics bay. So the avionics bay houses our flight computers. And these flight computers basically tell us how high our rocket is, how fast it's going, the acceleration, the orientation of it, tells us where our rocket is, and also tells us when we need to deploy our parachutes, and it does the actual deployment event for us. So a flight computer serves a lot of functions. To the right of this avionics bay, we have our second parachute, which is our drogue parachute. I will explain this in a second. To the right of that, we have our payload bay. A payload bay is a requirement for competition to be flown on every student team's rocket. And so I'll be going into detail about our payload a little later. To the right of the payload bay, we have the analysis system, otherwise known as our onboard sensor network. And so this is a new project that we're doing for Oberon 2. I'll go into detail about it in a little bit. And then lastly, we have our motor tube or motor casing. This houses all of the fuel, and this is where the fuel burns inside our rocket. And then we have our modular motor mount, which is actually a design that we came up with as a team to install the fins on the rocket. And so I'll go into detail about that later. But first off, to start with our parachute deployment method. So it is standard in high power rockets to use dual deployment, which means that you have two parachutes. We have our main parachute and we have our drogue parachute. The main parachute is 4 times as big as the drogue. So the main parachute's purpose is to get the rocket to safely land on the ground. The drogue parachute has a different purpose. It doesn't serve in any safe landing. I don't know why, but I decided to also put the drag coefficients of each of these parachutes. But this figure right here it's just a simple diagram of the flight of our rocket. And so from launch to landing, this is what it's gonna look like. And this should kind of help explain this dual deployment idea a little better. So once the rocket launches and reaches its apogee, slightly after it reaches apogee, the drogue parachute is gonna deploy, allowing the rocket to descend towards the ground at a terminal velocity of about 80 feet per second. Now, 80 feet per second is too fast for the rocket to hit the ground safely without damages. So once the rocket descends to about 1,000 feet above ground level, then we deploy our main parachute. And so this main parachute then allows us to descend to the ground and hit the ground at a terminal velocity of about 23 meters per second, which is a safe velocity to land. So the reason behind this whole dual deployment idea is to make retrieving the rocket a lot easier. With this design and how it works, retrieving the rocket's gonna be much closer to the launch pad. And so that's what we want. If we didn't do dual deployment, the rocket would be perhaps miles away from the launch pad. And so retrieving it would be a lot more difficult. So The way that we deploy our parachutes is just with black powder separation. So this is a common practice in high power rockets to use black powder for your parachute deployment. Basically how it works is we have these black powder ejection charges inside our rocket. And once the parachute is ready to deploy, these charges are set off, splitting these sections of the rocket so that the parachute can come out nicely and then deploy. This was our latest ground test for our black powder ejection to test out the, you know, if we have the right amount of black powder. This was actually a perfect amount. This is like a perfect test. So moving forward, I'm gonna go over our modular motor mount. So again, this was a design that we came up with for the fins and for the fin installment on the rocket. So first, in conventional high power rockets, it's often conventional to install your fins by epoxying them permanently onto the actual frame of the rocket. And as you can see in this picture to the left, this can be an issue if your fin breaks for some reason, because then that's going to make sense, since it's a part of the frame and it's permanent onto it. This makes repairing these fins or replacing them a lot harder than it needs to be. And so in this picture, this is actually a picture of Prometheus, of our first rocket that we launched in 2018. This is exactly what happened to us. So with Oberon moving forward, we wanted to avoid this issue again by taking a more modular approach to our fin installment. And so the way that this modular motor mount works is basically you can assemble the fins separately from the rocket and install them in the rocket, but also take them out. So these fins are going to be replaceable. And that's the biggest point of having this design in place, is the replaceability. In this picture on the far left, this is the final design of our MMM. Those fins are made out of wood, but our final fins are going to be out of fiberglass. Those are just prototype fins. But as you can see, it's a very minimal design. All it really needs is just some centering rings, some L brackets, and some fasteners to keep everything together. It's a minimal design, so it's lightweight, and it's also a very efficient assembly. So this modular motor mount can be assembled before going to the launch site. And then at the launch site, you can then slide it down the motor casing and proceed with mounting the motor into the rocket. So it doesn't take many extra steps, very efficient assembly, very minimal design, and allows for replaceability and interchangeability. So moving forward, I'm gonna talk about the onboard sensor network that we are implementing into this rocket. So for Oberon 2, we're gonna be having these sensors on board during flight that will measure and record various data during the flight. In specific, there are going to be three parameters that we're going to be that we want to know during flight. We want to know the stress and strain on the fins. We want to know the temperature of the surface of the motor casing as the fuel is burning, and then we also want to know the internal pressure caused by these black powder charges that are going to be set off for the parachute deployment. The reason for doing this is mainly for validation testing. You know, we want to make sure that we are meeting these requirements and that we are within the boundaries of these parameters. And also having this data on these parameters is very beneficial to us if we for future development of any future rockets and future designs. So to get a little more technical into this sensor network, I'm gonna go over the components that we use to actually get these measurements. So to measure the temperature of the motor casing, we're gonna be using thermocouples. Specifically, we're gonna use three. So we're gonna have two attached on each end of the motor casing, and then one in the middle of the casing. Hopefully our idea is to get a temperature gradient along the motor casing with this in place. And so each thermocouple is gonna be needed to to be attached to a digital converter, which will convert the voltage signal from the thermocouple into an actual temperature reading. Next, to measure the pressure of the black powder charges, we're gonna use two of these MPRLS pressure sensors. So the way that these work is we can attach a little rubber tube to this pressure sensor and then lead it to the actual pressure vessel that we want to record the pressure of. And so we're gonna be leading these rubber tubes to each of the little internal sections of the rocket where we keep our black powder and where we keep our parachutes. So once this black powder is set off, this pressure sensor will be able to read the pressure and we'll be able to record it. Lastly, to measure the stress and strain on the fins, we're gonna be using strain gauges. So we have decided to measure the stress and strain on two of our fins. These fins are gonna be opposite of each other, and we're gonna be using two strain gauges for each fin. So there's gonna be one strain gauge placed on each side of the fin. So these pairs of strain gauges, these two pairs, are gonna be configured into their own Wheatstone bridge configurations, specifically using a half bridge configuration. And so then these are gonna be wired to our load cell amplifiers, which will then amplify the signal produced by these strain gauges so that we can convert this signal into an actual stress and strain reading. With this sensor network, we're gonna have to implement some circuit boards into the rocket to be able to process the data from all these sensors and record this data. Since the sensors are gonna be kind of spread out throughout the rocket, we had to split this up into two different circuits. So there will be two circuit boards that we're gonna be implementing in the rocket. Here you will see the wiring diagrams for each circuit. And we have already designed a printed circuit board or a PCB for each of these wiring diagrams. So that'll be these little red things at the bottom. These PCBs are about 80 to 85% complete. We just need to finalize them a little bit. Once they're finalized, we can then manufacture them and proceed with implementing this sensor network into the rocket. So another thing that I will be talking about is our payload. For Oberon 2, we have a brand new payload that we're gonna do. So for competition, it is required that you fly some sort of payload on your rocket. And they recommend that you do some sort of scientific experimental payload. As a team, you get the freedom to kind of do whatever you want, but the competition actually judges you not just in flight performance, but on a lot of things. And so one of the things that they judge you on is your payload. And so this year, our team has decided to go with a bioengineering related experimental payload, where we will actually be investigating the effects of high G-forces on cell growth and cell structure. So our rocket is gonna be reaching, you know, over 18 Gs of force. And so what we wanna do is implement these giant kelp cells inside our payload and actually analyze the growth of these cells during the flight. The reason why we're using giant kelp cells is because they have a relatively high rate of growth. They grow at about, if I remember right, about 7 micrometers per second, which is actually observable under a microscope. So the idea behind this payload is to record these cells at a microscopic level on this payload during the flight. And so you're probably thinking that this is a very delicate payload idea. To achieve this, it's gonna be hard. So there's gonna be a lot of vibrations during flight that we have to deal with. And so we're gonna be implementing this other system to aid in that, in the payload bay. This is gonna be a vibrational damping system that the goal with this is to reduce turbulent vibrations or any sort of dynamic loads that will be experienced by the payload bay during flight. So with this, we want to reduce reduce vibrations as much as possible to facilitate the development of more accurate data so that we can get a better recording of these cells at a microscopic level. This system right here is still in its very, very initial design stages. So the initial design that we have right now just takes form of a simple spring damper system that will be located inside the payload bay. So basically what we wanna do is have this system figure out what stiffness coefficients we need, what damping coefficients we need, all that sort of thing, so that we can achieve a closest resemblance to a critically damped system, basically. So moving forward, the last thing I'm going to talk about is the rest of the projects that we're going to be doing this year. These are student research and development projects, or SRAD projects. And so the goal behind these SRAD projects is for the future development of future rockets for competition that we're gonna make. Although some of these we plan to actually implement on Oberon 2 for Oberon 2's flight. So starting at the top of the list, what we wanna do is program our own flight computer from scratch. So like I said, a flight computer serves many functions. And so we actually want to make our own that serves the exact same functionality as a commercially produced flight computer. So right now we use two commercially produced flight computers that we have just bought from a company, but we want to start using our own flight computer that we make. And so this is gonna be a longer project. What we plan to do is program a prototype this year and hopefully fly it on Oberon as a tertiary system, as a tertiary flight computer, to kind of validate, you know, the functionality that we have created and programmed for it, to make sure that all of our coding really works with the actual flight of a rocket. The next thing that we want to do is we want to start winding our own custom carbon fiber body frames. So what we do, you know, right now is we just buy these fiberglass tubes for the rocket that have already been made, but our team actually has access to a X-winder machine, a two-axis X-winder, which actually allows us to wind our own tubes out of carbon fiber. And so we want this year to start using this machine, and hopefully have a fully developed custom carbon fiber body frame for next year's rocket. And maybe if time permits, we will also have this custom body frame for Oberon 2 as well, but we'll see. Next thing we wanna do is we actually wanna develop our own parachutes as well. So again, we do buy our parachutes already made from a company. A lot of times these parachutes don't exactly meet, you know, the requirements of your rocket very well. And it's also pretty expensive. So what we want to do is kind of look into making our own parachutes that are perfect and tailored, you know, perfectly to our rocket so that we can get that perfect terminal velocity that we desire. We'll also explore more designs, you know, more experimental designs for parachutes, like reefing parachutes and such. And then lastly, probably one of the biggest projects we're going to be doing this year is we're actually going to begin research for creating our own solid propellant. So this is something that we've never done before. Like I said, what we do for Oberon 2 and for the past rockets that we've made is we buy this pre-made, pre-mixed motor with pre-made fuel. But the competition that we compete in actually offers a higher level category for student teams that specifically make and create their own propellant. And so what we would like to do moving, you know, as our next rocket after Oberon 2, we would like to make it a SRAD solid propulsion rocket using our own SRAD fuel that we have created. And so this is going to be a huge project. And so this year, we're just going to be beginning the foundation of research for that. And so hopefully by next year, we will have a, you know, enough research to really start making our own solid propellant. So as a team, you know, we have a lot of ambitions, a lot of goals, and a lot of progress to be made. And we hope that this year, a lot of that progress can be made once we finish up Oberon 2 and once we fly at a competition. So we're really excited. And thank you all. And if y'all have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Outstanding presentation, Alex. You have one question in chat. We'll start with that one. I presume it's associated with your payload, but David, if I don't get the question in the right context, feel free to jump in. It says, if have you tested the pressure sensing tubes to make sure they don't fail in a way that causes a critical loss of performance?
So we kind of have tested this, but not to its full extent. When we did that ground test for the black powder charges, we actually hooked up these rubber tubes and these pressure sensors inside the rocket to measure the pressure that we get from these black powder charges. And so we actually were able to obtain some data, and it did work. It worked well. The tubes held up fine. There were no issues whatsoever. Although one thing that we have not kind of tested out was, you know, simulating the vibrations of this system during flight, because vibrations, of course, can cause some issues with this pressure sensor and the way that we hook it up to the internal vessel of the rocket. So that is something that we haven't been able to test out yet, but we are looking into ways of doing that. But for the most, you know, for the most part, we have gotten the system to work, and it's been working well. So hopefully that answers the question.
Great. Yeah, I just want to make you aware of the potential for instrumentation causing a loss of the vehicle. So just be thinking about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any other questions in chat, so folks, feel free to type something there. In lieu of a question from someone else, I will first congratulate you guys on placing 14th. That's a big deal.
Thank you. You
sit on a number of engineering boards, and it's obviously something that most of the students are extremely interested in. And I think the trend that you guys are pursuing to understand the rocket and build more will certainly give you an edge over some of the other competitors. So congratulations there. If you look at the areas that you find to be most challenging, could you summarize what you think would be the biggest discriminator should you be able to address?
Yeah, so you know, immediately the first thing that came to mind, I guess, if this is you know, one of the options is money. And get having the budgeting and the funding for this, for us at least, for our team, has been probably our biggest conflict with all this. We haven't been as fortunate as some other teams to get this enormous amount of funding to make this beautiful, you know, very nicely fabricated and machined rocket with all these really nice parts. So we have had to kind of work with what we can. And yeah, I would say that has been the biggest challenge for us.
Very good. I think that sharing your forward development plans and the research and development work you guys are doing on propellant might be able to swing a few dollars your way. You're sharing your story with your advisory boards to see if there's corporate sponsorship that might be possible.
Yeah, we're always working on it, so.
Okay, I don't see any additional questions in chat. Congratulations on your success so far, and thank you for your presentation.
Yeah, thank you so much, Wanda.
All right, so for everyone else in track one, we will reconvene with presentations at the top of the hour.